morning.
Good morning.
Glad to welcome you to our worship service this morning, and glad to welcome all our visitors and our guests, and glad to welcome our viewers online. We're glad you're with us as well. Remind all of you online, we will be celebrating Holy Communion later in this worship, and we invite you to take communion at home as we take it here. Today is the culmination of our annual stewardship drive, and we call it Consecration Sunday. We invite you on this day to bring your regular weekly gifts, or monthly, or whatever gifts you make, along with your estimate of giving cards, and we'll put them in the basket right here in front of the altar. Now, first thing, is there anybody who needs one that would like to have one? Just raise your hand. The ushers are supposed to be watching for it. All right, don't see anybody. Good. Wait a minute. We got some that need your estimate of giving card. Raise your hands. Stan, we got some. They got hands raised. We're looking for estimate of giving card, Stan. He remembered. Okay. All right, put your hands back up. Stan's coming. I'll also remind you or tell you about where and when this is going to happen. So let's see. Wow, y'all are so quiet. This is going to happen right after the sermon. Our response to God's word proclaimed to us as we will respond with this. There's one right over here, Stan. Yeah. So right after the sermon, you'll already be seated. Jim, I think you're going to start playing some music. Is that right? When Jim's music starts, you're just free to come from your seats as you desire. As you come up the aisle, I would remind you, be aware of your social distancing. You know, don't just all crowd up here. But anyway, take your time and work your way up here. Any questions about any of that? So your cards and your offering, bring forward at that time. Just put in this basket. Okay, I think that's all I have to say. So, Amanda, your turn.
I appreciate that. I forgot my estimate of giving card, so I'm glad that you mentioned that, Pastor Gary. A few announcements for me this morning. I'm happy to announce that we have hired, pending a background check and those things, but we have hired a new nursery worker, and she'll start officially next week, and her name is Kiara Daniels. She is actually visiting this morning. She's back in the nursery and with our sub for today. So please welcome her when you see her, and introduce yourself and invite her into our wonderful community here. We're so happy to have her. Also, we have youth group for our kindergarten through fifth graders today. And I'm really excited. We're going to be talking about baptism, and we're going to make a really cool craft. So all kindergartners through fifth graders are invited to meet in the fellowship hall from 4 to 5:30 today. It'll be a lot of fun. And then one more announcement. We have had a lot of traffic in our blessing box lately, and so we thank you for continuing to be very generous with that. And I thought we'd have a little fun October challenge. Pastor Gary, what do you think?
I was going to ask you about this if you didn't say anything about it.
Oh, you were going to ask me about it.
I was.
Yeah, so I made a video on Thursday because some of the youth and I thought it would be fun to challenge ourselves to think about something that starts with the same letter as your last name and bring it to the blessing box. So something non-perishable or personal hygiene items. So the Burks are going to bring some beans this week. So what are you going to bring, Pastor Gary?
Well, I thought about two things. I thought about licorice and lentil beans.
Lentils. Yeah, there you go. Licorice and lentils. Nice. Nice. So just a fun challenge to think about something that starts with your last name and bring it to the blessing box. Bonus points if you want to take a selfie and tag the church in it. And we'll have some fun with that. And we'll also continue stocking it with the basics as well. So thank you for supporting that ministry so much.
You know what the good news is?
What is the good news?
Nan will probably start thinking about it and come up with something a lot better than licorice.
Probably. Nan, we're counting on you. Thanks, Pastor Gary.
Thanks, Amanda.
You're welcome.
All right, let us rise and prepare for our worship with our confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose teaching is life, whose presence is sure, and whose love is endless.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin to the one who welcomes us with an open heart. God, our Comforter, like lost sheep, we have gone astray. We gaze upon abundance and see scarcity. We turn our faces away from injustice and oppression. We exploit the earth with our apathy and greed. Free us from our sin, gracious God. Listen when we call out to you for help. Lead us by your love to love our neighbors as ourselves. Amen. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. By the gift of grace in Christ Jesus, God makes you righteous. Receive with glad hearts the forgiveness of all your sins. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us pray. Sovereign God, you have created us all to live in loving community with one another. Form us for life that is faithful and steadfast, and teach us to trust like little children, that we may reflect the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Be seated, and with the children, please come forward. Good morning, everybody. Jordan brought her stickers up. Artie brought his multicolored shoes and your multicolored mask. It's a red mask. All right, here we go. I wanted to show you something in our bulletin today. Thank you. Here we go. The very first word I said today when we started church was blessed. Do you know what it means to bless somebody? Okay, that is one blessing, is when we put the water on your forehead like that. That's one blessing. Yeah, to bless somebody means to wish them good things or to pray that God will look out for the person and take care of the person always. That's a pretty good thing, isn't it? That's right. That's right. That's right. And so today and every day recently, every Sunday recently, we have reminded ourselves the very first thing we do in church is to talk about how God blesses us. That's good news, isn't it? Yeah. And the reason I want to talk about that today is because in our gospel reading today, we have Jesus. And you know who he blesses? Not in that lesson, and I'm not in that reading. In that reading, he blesses children. That's right, Jordan, he blesses children. That's right. Blesses children. And so Jesus thought y'all were really special. He thought children were just really, really special and a special part of God's kingdom. And so he wanted to bless you. He prayed for you. He wished that God would always watch out for you. That's a really special thing, isn't it? All right, now the next thing is, do you think we can bless other people? Can we pray that God would watch out for them and want good things for other people? Sure we can. Yeah, so we can bless other people. And then the other thing is, the very last thing we do in our worship service before our last hymn is we have a big blessing. And it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. So we're all about blessing. God gives us God's blessing. And we can bless other people and wish that God takes care of them too. All right, that's what we're thinking about today. Can we have our prayer? Dear Jesus, thank you for blessing us and help us to bless others because of your love. Amen. All right, go in peace and serve the Lord.
A reading from Genesis. The Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So out of the ground the Lord formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all cattle and to the birds of the air and to every animal of the field. But for the man, there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is born of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken. Therefore, a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh." The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Some Pharisees came, and to test Jesus they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
While attending a marriage seminar dealing with communication, a husband and his wife listened to the instructor. "It is essential," the instructor said, "that husbands and wives know the things that are important to each other. For example," the instructor continued, "men, can you name your wife's favorite flower?" The husband leaned over with a proud, self-satisfied look, touched his wife's arm gently, and whispered, "It's Pillsbury Self-Rising, isn't it?" I think that guy just baked his own cake. A little girl who was 10 years old was asked how you decide who to marry, and she said, "No person really decides before they grow up who they're going to marry. God decides it all way before, and you get to find out later who you're stuck with." I think all this works together to say that marriage isn't always easy. Some Pharisees came to Jesus in order to test him. "Is it lawful," they asked, "for a man to divorce his wife?" Now, there was method to their madness. A debate raged among scholars of Jesus' time as to how lenient the law should be with regard to divorce. According to some rabbis, only adultery would suffice as grounds for divorce. According to other rabbis, if your wife burned your toast, if she talked back to you, or if there was anything dissatisfying about her, that was grounds for divorce. Wives weren't really allowed to divorce husbands very often at all. The Pharisees were putting Jesus in a difficult position. He was going to offend somebody no matter how he answered. Jesus responded to this tricky question with a question of his own. "What did Moses command you?" he asked. The Pharisees said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away." But listen to Jesus' response. "It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law." Then Jesus gave one of the most beautiful affirmations of marriage and family life that one can imagine. He took his listeners back to Genesis. At the beginning of creation, God made them male and female, Jesus said. And then he adds, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So there are no longer two, but one." And then he sums it up, "Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Jesus had a high view of marriage. He understood our need to be in relationship, our need to connect. He understood the emptiness of being alone. He understood the pain that happens when relationships fail. He understood the struggle to make relationships work. And so Jesus lifted up a high view of marriage, a view founded in love, in faithfulness, in commitment, and most of all, in God. A lawyer was trying to console a weeping widow. Her husband had passed away without a will. "Did the deceased have any last words?" asked the lawyer. "You mean right before he died?" sobbed the widow. "Yes," replied the lawyer. "They might be helpful if it's not too painful for you to recall them." "Well," she began, "as I remember it, he said, 'Don't try to scare me. You couldn't hit the broadside of a barn with that gun.'" I'm not going to ask for a show of hands for how many of us have felt from time to time like shooting our spouse. None of us are perfect. A marriage, a relationship is something we need to work on. We are called to be intentional in our relationships. We ought to work on the relationship. It can't be something we take for granted or it will wither. Be loving, spontaneous, encouraging, open, thoughtful, and fun. Another important aspect of marriage is to realize that what you give is more important than what you get. All our relationships are supposed to be lived like that, focused on the other person and their good. The good that comes your way ought to come as a surprise because you are so focused on giving rather than getting. Living this way leads to relationships that are deep and satisfying and meaningful. After all, that's how Jesus lived for us. Finally, marriages and all our relationships ought to have God at their center. The love we share has its foundation in God's love for us. Our joy together has its source in God's love. As we hold each other, we are all held by God. There once was a pastor who went into the 5th and 6th grade Sunday school class to talk about marriage. He started off by asking if any of the young people knew what Jesus had to say about marriage. The students sat there racking their brains, but they couldn't think of anything. Until finally, one little boy raised his hand and said, "Is that when Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do?'" Sometimes it might seem that way. But Genesis assures us that God made us for each other. And marriage is intended for partnership, for love, and for joy. May God bless our marriage and all our relationships. that we may be filled with God's light and truth and love forever. Amen. Rise. Gathered as God's people, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Glorious God, your majesty exceeds our imaginations. With all our hearts, we sing your praise and give you honor. now inspire our faith and transform our lives that we might live out our worship every day. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for our world, O Lord of light. Unite us in your love and in this meal we share. In this meal, fill us with you. Shine into our darkness and lead us in your way. Change us that we might shine your love into our world. Lord, in your mercy. God of generous blessing, we pray now for generosity and courage as we boldly go to serve you. Call us with new energy and commitment to your work in our world. Call us to come to your house often to worship you and to hear your word for our lives. Call us to offer our talents and our time in your service. Fill us with your Holy Spirit that we may be bold in our faith and courageous in our mission. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O God of comfort and compassion, be with our brothers and sisters who are in need. Heal the sick, console those who mourn, change the lives of the poor, the oppressed, the outcast, and the alone. Be with all your people, O God, and especially those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Bread of life, our table and our food, you created a world in which all might be satisfied by your abundance. You dined with Abraham and Sarah, promising them life, and fed your people Israel with manna from heaven. You sent your Son to eat with sinners and to become food for the world. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life given for us and his rising from the grave, we await his coming again to share with us the everlasting feast. By your Spirit, nurture and sustain us with this meal. Strengthen us to serve all in hunger and want. And by this bread and cup, make of us the body of your Son. Through him all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace. Amen. Let us pray. Lord of life, in the gift of your body and blood, you turn the crumbs of our faith into a feast of salvation. Send us forth into the world with shouts of joy, bearing witness to the abundance of your love. In Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.